Lord, thank you for just the joy that I think we have just sensed this morning and had in offering our worship and praise to you through song, through giving, through our fellowship, through prayer. Lord, we now want to give you glory and worship you in your word, that, Lord, we would gaze into the mysteries of your word and see your answers and see those truths that you would have us know and learn and certainly put to use, apply to our lives. And in this case, Father, what does your word say about fathers and how to honor them, why they should be honored, how we are to indeed do just that? We now pray for your Holy Spirit in us to illuminate your word to us. And Father, we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Now, I've used this joke one other time, but it's too good to pass up. What's the difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day? Father's Day's a lot cheaper. Well, by way of an opening illustration, I am blessed this morning because I have both my father and my father-in-law here, and we're just happy to be able to spend some time with both families, and so I just wanted to take the opportunity to honor them both by briefly sharing just a few of the wonderful fatherly qualities in each of them and how they have impacted me and helped to mold and shape me into the man I am today. We'll just talk about the good parts, okay? Because they didn't have anything to do with the bad. The bad's all on my own. But interestingly, the character traits and qualities that stand out most in both of them, they really share jointly. As I was putting this together, I realized this, and I'm very blessed because of that. Both my dad and my father-in-law share a great love and devotion for their family. My dad always had time for us. You could always tell how important family was to my dad because of the time that he spent with us. In fact, this became apparent even through his work and his work schedule. My dad was a CHP officer for 33 plus years, and for just about that whole career, he worked the graveyard shift. And so he would, go to work at leave the house at like 7:15, something like that, and then would get home a little after 4 or what have you. And the neat thing about that was then we'd go off to school, and he would sleep and take his nap, and basically by the time my sister and I got home from school, my dad was up, and he was available to us. It was such a blessing, and he would coach Little League and do this, that, and the other. And so he had that time even through his work schedule, and that time that we were their home in the evenings, that was family. It was always devoted to family. I don't ever remember my dad just doing something for himself, say. Now, every now and again, when I was small, we'd be on vacation, and we'd be fishing, and I loved to fish with him. And every once in a while, my dad would kind of slip away to, just get an hour of fishing on his own. I can't understand why you wouldn't want to take your six-year-old every single moment with you fishing. But one of the ways that we spent time together then is, again, fishing. My dad was always amazingly patient with me. He taught me much about the great outdoors, how to respect nature, and always, always let me reel in any fish that he hooked. In fact, even to this day, when I've gone to visit him, he will hook a fish before me. Did I say that? And he tries to offer me the rod still, Dad, I'm 50, I can get my own fish, That's the pride in you welling up, right? And he's trying to hand me, no, take mine, here. And interesting, a love of fishing was also a great bonding agent for my father-in-law and myself. In fact, the very first time that I got to go out to Kansas and meet my father-in-law and mother-in-law, that's one of the first things we did was go fishing together. That's a whole other story, as he and my brother-in-laws were kind of chuckling as they're catching bass and fishing for bass, and I'm doing my fly fishing thing. I'm convinced I'm going to catch a bass with my, and they're just like, what is he doing? What is he doing? Until finally, thunk, the fly comes right back and embeds itself into my chin, and Pop had to take me to the emergency room, and oh, yeah. Another great quality that both these men share is their tremendous work ethic, and that is something that I pray that I have gotten from them. They are both extremely hard workers who have always given 100% plus in their jobs. Even in their retirement, you can see that their work ethic has not changed. And then lastly, both my pops are the most unselfish people I know. They love to help others, and they would literally give you the shirt off their backs if they knew that you needed it. They sacrifice of themselves, not just for their families and friends, but I have seen it from both of them, even for total strangers. They are both truly others-centered. So I am very thankful and very grateful that God has seen fit to put both of these tremendous men in my life. I thank my dad for his almost 50 years of teaching and training, because it seems that that part of it never ends, does it? And my father-in-law for the last 25. That's remarkable to me that I've had them in my life for half of my life. These men have both impacted me greatly, and I just love and honor them both. And I pray that you will do the same with your fathers, should you have the opportunity to do on this Father's Day. Well, to continue on here, we're talking about honoring fathers, as I've already mentioned. So what does it mean to honor somebody? Well, certainly to esteem them. You might have some different words coming into your head, or respect them, offer them a reverence. You hold them in high regard. And so today I want you to see from the Scripture 8 reasons why you should honor your father. And rest assured, dads, some of these honors are just freely bestowed on you. You get them no matter what, or you should get them. And there are also some that are kind of interesting, because it seems that there are some kind of honors that you have to earn. Now, we did this, whatever it was, back in May for Mother's Day with our mothers. So in this first one, there's going to be a little bit of crossover, similar kinds of things. But number one, fathers should be honored because it's commanded in the Scriptures. God commands that fathers should be honored, right? Part of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, honor your father and mother. And it's interesting here, because this command is the only one of those 10 that actually has an accompanying promise. He says, he continues on, Moses writes, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, interestingly, it's also one with a very severe penalty should you fail to live up to it by doing the following. In Exodus 21, just a little short while later, in verses 15 to 17, it says, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to... Yeah, they don't get sent to their room. Death. And then in verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother doesn't get a scoop of ice cream that night. No, surely be put to death. Moses again reiterated the command in Deuteronomy. The meaning of Deuteronomy is second law. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, it says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. And then in Proverbs 23:22, it instructs children to listen to your father who begot you. Then in verse 23, we see it's for the purpose of learning truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So listen to your father, because he is going to give you truth and wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now, unless you're thinking, oh, but Pastor Jay, we're not under the Old Testament law. That's Old Testament stuff. We're under New Testament, New Covenant. Yes, but honor your father and mother. Guess what? It's restated in the New Testament. As plain as plain can be, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3. Children, this is why I'm glad we have all of our kids here today. And I'm sorry we don't have our kids' sheets. I just just plumb ran out of time there. But children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Now, Paul is reiterating, he's bringing to mind the Old Testament law, Exodus. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's God's desire for you, kiddos. Do you want things to go well for you, kids? Yeah. Do you want to have a long life? Yeah. Then honor your father with your obedience. God takes obeying, honoring, respecting, and revering our fathers very seriously. In fact, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 21, for the worst case scenario of a rebellious child, they command stoning. Stoning. We talked about this now with our moms on Mother's Day, but I think it warrants mentioning again, how do we give our fathers this honor, this esteem, this respect then that's commanded of us? Well, how about this? We mentioned it once, we'll mention it again. Honor your father with your obedience. Honor your father with your obedience. In other words, even when you don't like it, what he's telling you or asking you to do, right? Even when you don't want to do it, right? The only exception is if your father is asking you to do what? Sin. Then you would say, no, I obey God, right? Then I obey God. Remember the three aspects of obedience? We teach this, I mentioned this with mothers. We teach this to our kids. You obey right away. You obey all the way and with a happy heart, right? Those are the three ways we obey. So ask yourself, kids, am I obedient right away? Am I obedient all the way to completion, whatever it is they're asking me to do? Or am I only obedient when it suits me, when I'm getting something I want? Am I acting obediently and doing it in a joyful manner? Or am I taking out the trash, you know, and I'm kicking stuff and I'm kicking rocks and I'm slamming trash cans and I'm slamming doors and I'm, you know, and making it clear that this is not something I want to do. Do this, there's a promise of blessing. Also, you can honor your father with your words. The things that come out of your mouth, right? Proverbs 30 and verse 11 says, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. Meaning the things that come out of his mouth are curses towards father. But Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but such a word as is good for edification, building up, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You want to give grace to your dad? Then speak words that will build him up. In other words, what you say and how you say it absolutely matters. It reveals your true heart. That saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Totally false. Totally false. Words do hurt, don't they? They absolutely can. They can build up and edify, or they can hurt. They can be divisive. They can bring down. Also, honor him with your respect. Honor your father with your respect. Leviticus 19:3 says, every one of you shall reverence his mother and father. This means to honor your father with your attitude, with your words, with your actions. Show him respect. Now, you may be thinking, well, what if I don't respect him? How can I do that? How can I honor someone I don't respect? Well, you don't know my dad. My dad's a deadbeat. My dad's a jerk. My dad's a drunk. He's a druggie. My dad, he deserted the family. My dad's a loser. Well, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. You are still commanded to honor him. And you can do so with your respect. And sometimes we might be in situations too where we don't actively have a dad in our lives. But maybe there is somebody else that's acting like a dad. That's kind of stepping into that role that we can honor, respect, revere. Moses in the Old Testament, Paul in the New Testament, they don't say honor your father and mother if they're godly parents. Honor your father and mother if they never sin. Or if they parent the way that you think they should parent, or if they give you everything you want, no. You're to honor and respect them regardless. Now, in so doing, it doesn't mean that you have to be a party to bad or sinful behavior. It doesn't mean that you have to condone that kind of behavior. You know, it's kind of like that command to place yourself under the authority of the government leaders, right? That's in the scripture. Now, it's not saying that you have to necessarily like them, and it's not saying that you have to agree with all of their policies and what they do, but you can still show them a certain amount of respect by honoring them. Now, I mentioned this when we were talking about honoring mothers, but this also bears repeating. If your father is really so bad that you as a Christian struggle with honoring or revering or respecting him, then chances are your father's not even a believer. Chances are they're not even a Christian. And so you need to do those things towards him for the sake of the gospel, right? So that he will see Christ in you, so that you might have that opportunity to share Christ with him. You have to ask yourself, if you, as a Christian, are disrespectful or spiteful or vengeful towards your unsaved father, how are you going to share the love of Jesus with him without sounding like a what? Hypocrite, right? The answer is you're not. You're not going to be able to. And that should be our hope. Also, honor your dad by not treating him lightly or not taking him seriously. In Ezekiel 22 and verse 7, God, through Ezekiel, speaking of the sins of Israel, said, "They have treated father and mother lightly within you." In other words, don't blow your old man off. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Oh man, that is a tough one. That's tough even as you get older, not just as a younger person. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Your father knows a few things that you don't, right? Listen to him, respect him, revere him, obey him, be a blessing to him. So youth, talking to our youth for a sec here specifically, how are you doing in the obedience and respecting department? I mean, if your dad asks you to help him with a project, does your response start with that, "Oh man, you know"? If he asks you to do something for your mom, do you just go, "Fine"? Do you mumble under your breath at him? "I can't believe he's asking me to do this. I do so much around here. I just keep doing something. Do you tell him no? Or even double worse, do you lie to him? When your dad disciplines you, do you accept his discipline graciously, realizing that you are the one that brought the punishment on yourself because of your sin, or do you just flat out pitch a fit? Adults, we tend to kind of soften on these kinds of things as we get older, don't we? But ask yourself, even though the relationship with your dad or your father, if he is still alive, has certainly changed over the years, whatever the context is now, are you showing him honor, esteem, reverence, respect? And listen up, folks, because here's the bitter truth. The bitter truth is that if you are not honoring, esteeming, revering, respecting your father with your obedience, words, actions, attitudes, then guess what? You are not only sinning against your dad, you're ultimately sinning against God. And you need to repent, not only to God, but possibly to your father as well. Now, secondly, fathers should be honored because they are the God-ordained leaders of their families. They are the God-ordained leaders of their families. How do we know this? Because the Bible tells us so, right? Back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" And in 1 Timothy 2:13, it says, "For it was Adam who was created and then Eve." Adam who was first created and then Eve. So we see a certain order to things here. And then in Genesis 2:24, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. There's that marriage relationship, right? There's that initial family structure. If we were to stop right there, we could say we have a complete family, man and woman there. But in Ephesians 5, 22 to 24, it also tells us, Paul, writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." And then we also see that husbands are to be subject to who? Christ. Christ. Colossians 3:18 and 1 Peter 3:1-2 both say the same thing in regard to the wife submitting to her husband's leadership. In 1 Timothy 3:4, Paul writes, "He, the husband, must be one who manages his own household well." Oh, excuse me, this is in the context of leaders in the church, elders. "He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity." So fathers, yes, we are to be managing our own household well and having our children under control with all dignity. Now, you might be thinking, why did God do it this way? Why did he do it this way? God is all about getting glory for himself. And this isn't pride. Pride is sinful. God is not sinful. God is altogether righteous and perfect and holy. It's his prerogative. It's his right to be glorified. It's his privilege to be glorified. And he has ordained that the best way for this to be accomplished through the family is to give each family member a role to play. And if they do this, a function that if done properly to his specifications will then cause the family unit to naturally flourish and glorify God, in addition just to running as smoothly as possible. Just think about it in the context of, well, since it's dads, we'll talk about a sports team, all right? Baseball team. I like baseball. You have the manager of the team. Under him, you have the coaches, right? You got batting coaches, and you've got pitching coaches, and you've got, you know, I imagine infielding coaches and outfield coaches and, you know, coach for everything. Not everybody can be the manager. What's the old saying? Too many cooks spoil the broth, right? Too many managers are going to spoil the game. You can't all be managers. And so God has designed our baseball family, if you will, for very specific reasons, with very specific roles for each to play. And when each member of the family team understands his or her position and job and does it to the best of their ability, man, that's when things really cook. That's when things move, again, as smoothly as possible. That is when the game will go well. And listen to this, gang. It's tough to lead. For anyone that's been in a leadership position, and certainly for dads as leaders of their families, it's tough. It's really difficult. And you know what? It's even tougher to lead well. It's not always an enviable position. And like any kind of leadership position, whoever is the manager, whoever is in charge, whoever is the leader, will sometimes get some of the credit for when the team is successful. But guess what? They will always get the blame if the team loses. Always. It's the same in the family. It will be dad who will take the rap if the team isn't doing good. He's the one held accountable for not being a good manager if things are falling apart. Again, going back to that 1 Timothy. He's the one responsible to be the chief provider, and he's also responsible for the spiritual growth of his family. And just like any leader, at the end of the day, he is the one that's held primarily responsible for, again, how the team did. And he will have to answer to the one in authority over him, as we've already said, namely Christ, God. In dad's case, he answers to his father, the father, right? So you should honor him for that reason and that reason alone. Now, just because the father is the God-ordained head of the family, this does not mean that dear old dad should be some kind of dictator or despot or tyrant or Grand Turk or Sultan, Sheikh, Tsar, Kaiser, or Caesar. That is not his role. He is not to lord his authority over those under him. He is not there to oppress or terrorize or be the inquisitor or slave driver or taskmaster. Dad's job is to biblically lead his family. He is to follow the example of Christ and his word and to lead in a loving and self-sacrificing way. And when dad does this, he deserves honor. He deserves honor. So dads, I know this one kind of got turned around on us a bit, didn't it? Because we have to ask ourselves, are we being the biblical, godly, loving, self-sacrificing leader to our families so that we can be honored in this way? And families, when dad is leading in such a way, you have to ask yourself, am I showing him honor? Am I submitting to him? Or maybe dad's not doing his best. Are you still doing those things? Maybe he's struggling at the moment. Maybe he's struggling but trying. Are you doing those things? You know, the fact that dad is the God-ordained leader of his family means that dad has many hats that he wears, many major responsibilities that you should honor him for. Again, it's certainly not easy being a dad. Certainly not easy being a mom, but we're on dads today. Number three. Fathers should be honored because they teach their children to love God and his word. They should be honored because they teach their children to love God and his word. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." This is the way children should be taught. This is the way they should be trained up. And it starts with dads teaching their children just how to simply love God and to love his word. Newsflash, dads. I, as pastor here, or as I should say, one of the elders or one of the teachers, I am not the one primarily responsible for teaching your children about God. Guess who is? You, right? Also, the Sunday school times that we have here and children's church. And Dunamis, and Vacation Bible School, and youth group, the youth leaders, these people, these teachers in these different ministries are also not primarily responsible for teaching your children about God. You are. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 tells us, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and admonition or instruction of the Lord." Meaning if you aren't raising them God's way, then you are raising them in a worldly, man-centered way. And this will cause them to be provoked to anger because the world's way is not the best way. In fact, it's the wrong way. Go ahead. I know we haven't cracked open our Bibles. I've just been giving you scriptures. Turn to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Sorry about that. We should have got them cracked open a lot earlier. Deuteronomy 6. Again, this is second law. It's Moses. He's got the whole nation of Israel, you know, whether it's a million plus 2 million, whatever people. They're on the plains of Moab. They've been wandering around the desert, but now they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And Moses relays God's instruction to them one more time before they take over the land. And again, this is Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 4 to 9. I think we might have read this with our moms. This is a good one. This is one that we should all know. He says this because there are principles here that certainly would apply to us, New Testament time. Moses writes on behalf of God, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." Now check out this next part. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons." We could certainly insert daughters there. "Sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." What's that saying? How often should we teach our kids about God? Always. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. At that point, they were taking things very literally. They literally, you know, you've seen sometimes the little prayer boxes at a Jewish home. Maybe they have it on the doorpost and they have a prayer in there. Well, they were actually putting these prayer boxes on their person, on a headband, right? On hands and whatnot. So that they would have God's word near and close to them. Proverbs 6 and verse 20 has Solomon writing, my son, again we could put in daughter, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. That is, meaning the godly biblical commands that your father and mother are teaching you. Now dads, this is us. This is what we need to be doing, teaching and training our children to know and love the Lord. And you go, I know, but there's only so many hours in the day. You know, I mean, well, let me ask you, do we have time to go to work? Well, yeah, I have to. Got to do that. What about watch the TV? Surf the internet? Play sports? Do all the fun things? Hang out in your man cave? Yeah, we find time for the things that we make a priority, don't we? We have to prioritize. We can tell a lot by where our priorities are and what we make time for. And does teaching and training your kids in the ways of the Lord take time? Yeah, it does. Oodles of it. Lots of it. Lots of it. And it always seems to come at the most inconvenient time. This, that, and the other's going on. Mind's going a million places. You're doing all this project, that project, and boom, something happens, and you got to stop. And now I got to deal with Junior. Now I got to deal with this situation over here. I got to teach. Man, I don't have time for this. Oh, that's a God-ordained moment. That is God giving you a specific moment to teach and train them. We have to stop looking at our kids, right, in the sense of that they're getting in our way or teaching them or training them. God's ways is like coming at an inconvenient time, and we have to instead see all of those moments as God ordained. A sovereign God is giving us the specific opportunity to teach and train them in his ways and see it as a blessing, not as an inconvenience, right? Do we make time for the things that are important to us? We do. Do we really think that when we pass on, our kids are going to say, man, you know, the one thing about my dad, he just spent way too much time with me. Man, I just wish he didn't spend so much time with me. I don't think anybody's ever said that. No, he just spent too much time teaching me about Jesus. I just wish he would lay off. Now, kids, youth, this is important stuff. Because whatever your dad teaches you about God, Jesus, the Bible, salvation, how to live a godly life is so much more important than anything else in your life. It is so much more important than what TV has to offer you or movies or video games or the computer or social media or toys or shopping or even college or even high school or even any kind of school. Your very life and your eternal future are dependent upon what you know and believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. So when your dad tells you that you as a family, you're going to church, oh, you go. Sunday school or youth group, some other kind of fellowship activity, you don't sit there and roll your eyes at him and go, I'd really rather go to the river. I'd really rather stay home. No, you don't whine, complain, pitch a fit. You honor him by listening to him, doing what he says, even if you don't feel like it or are thinking, well, you know, who's he to decide what I get to do or not do or tell me what to do or I should be able to decide if I go or not. No. No, you don't. Because you don't know what's necessarily best for you right now. You might think that you do, but oftentimes you don't. Your dad, though, has your best interests at heart. One last reminder, dads, you can only expect this honor as far as you are doing the things that you are telling your children to do, right? This takes us to our next one. Fathers should be honored for being godly examples to their children. Fathers should be honored by being godly examples to their children. This means living out that godly life in front of them, whether it's to your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, right? And this means even for you granddads and great-granddads, right? Your kids, grandkids, etc., guess what? They are always doing what? Watching you. They're always watching you. And again, this might be a bit of an earned honor, right? Because if you aren't being a godly example, how can you expect godliness from them? It starts with us, right? The buck stops with us. You know, for instance, an example would be loving people. Loving other people. In John chapter 13, John writes, or Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, saying to the disciples, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And this new covenant idea of loving is all about loving others in a sacrificial, Christ-like way, by way of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Are you doing that, dads? Are you teaching your children to love others by your example of loving others? Are you loving others in a sacrificial, Christ-like way by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit? And let's start with your wives. Do you show your wife that kind of love so that they will emulate that? Your sons will emulate that. You know, the scriptures don't just teach us to love those that are easy to love, do they? No, sometimes it's the ones that are the most difficult to love. Again, let's start with our wives. Are we loving our wives in a self-sacrificing manner? Do we love our children in that way as well? What about outside the house? You know, when the umpire makes a bad call, how do you react? Are you the first one? Man, you got three eyes or what? He was safe. Screaming at him. Somebody cuts you off. You got your kids in the back seat. Are you cursing at him? Are you speeding up to, you know, flash them a few certain gang signs? What about when the telemarketer calls during dinner? How are you then? Kids are at the dinner table, and is the time that you're going to give them a piece of your mind? What about when you're around or you talk about people that you don't particularly care for, and your kids happen to be standing right there? Are you showing them, by example, how to forgive? Are you showing them how to be hospitable? Are you showing them how to be generous? Are you showing them how to be kind towards all? Are you showing them how to be patient and long-suffering and forbearing to others? Are you showing them how to love those that are maybe, again, those seemingly harder to love people? Do you want honor from your children? Then we have to live out a godly life in front of them. They must see our faith in action daily. And if they don't see that we have a deep and passionate love for God, a love for His Son, a love for His Word, and for the people of God in the church, again, can we really expect our kids to have that? Next, fathers should be honored because they discipline their children. That sounds like kind of a strange one, huh? That they should be honored because they discipline their children. Discipline demonstrates a father's love for his children. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 says, "He who withholds his rod," meaning the rod of discipline, "hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." Now we have to be clear, it's meaning disciplining them in a proper way, a godly way. It's not talking about abuse in any form or shape or manner. Also, we see in the scriptures, Proverbs 22, verse 15, that discipline drives out foolishness. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Discipline also invites wisdom. Proverbs 29, 15 tells us, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother." So it invites wisdom, and discipline will deliver their souls from Sheol, the place of the dead. Proverbs 23, 13 to 14, "Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol." Again, so it's not advocating abuse in any way, shape, or form. Sheol is that Hebrew word for the place of the dead. It can also be hell. Just to clarify, this verse is not saying that you are saved If you get disciplined, it is saying that discipline will teach a godly understanding of right from wrong and will help one avoid an ultimately premature death due to one's waywardness or one's sin. Remember, too, what could happen to rebellious children in that worst-case scenario we talked about at the beginning, even death. Next, fathers should be honored because they provide for their families. They should be honored because they provide for their families. It's not that a wife or mom can't work or earn money to help the family, so long as it isn't interfering with her being a helpmate to her husband, as well as being able to take care of her children. But scripturally speaking, fathers are to be the primary providers for their families. Back in that Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. God puts man to work first. Genesis 2 and verse 18, then the Lord God said, It is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him the helper suitable for him. Enter Eve, his wife. In Genesis chapter 3, 17, they're actually, God's dealing out the consequences now for their sin. And God says, cursed is the ground because of you, meaning man, to Adam. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground. So he's getting this curse in now his work. He's the one being singled out for the work. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, meaning his family, and in this context being widows, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Husbands, dads are to provide for their families. There's the negative in verse 4 of 1 Timothy 5. If any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first practice piety in regard to their own family to make some return to their parents. This is acceptable in the sight of God. Our wives and moms have other duties and jobs in their positions as wife and mother. But again, fathers are to be the primary provider here. And we know that that's not always the case today. I was kind of amazed. I don't know if you call it amazed. This happened a few weeks ago. It was interesting. Gal comes up to the door and knocks, and she's asking for handout kind of thing. And I kind of look down the way where I see the car, and looks like either husband or significant other or whatever fella is in the driver's seat and has her come out to ask for help. And, you know, after talking with her for a short time, it kind of was obvious and apparent. It was, you know, not so much a real need. It was working the system kind of thing. And I thought, dude, seriously, you have your significant other, wife, whoever, come out and ask for help. You need to be the one up here doing this. Fathers should be honored by your righteous living. Fathers should be honored by your righteous living. This is to now those who have fathers, which is, yeah, all of us. We're to honor them with our righteous living. In Proverbs 23, it says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Or in Luke 3, 21 and 22, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven and said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. So kids, which is, well, yeah, all of us, right, in the sense of having a father, our righteous living brings honor to our dads. And you just have to ask yourself, do you bring honor to your dad through your righteous living? What about even your reputation, especially in the context of living in a small town? Oh my goodness. The town sees all, hears all, knows all. What's your reputation like around town? I remember when the Whittlers were here with Sam and Sam and Rod telling me a story one day of Sam was in high school, and Rod gets a call from somebody. Does your son have day off or something? Rod goes, no. Oh, I just saw him walking along, you know, 299 or Washington or whatever. So, you know, Sam comes home and Rod's like, so, son, what were you doing today at 1 o'clock, you know? It gets around, doesn't it? gets around. I think he had a good reason. I don't think it was anything weird. Lastly, this will go real quick. Fathers should be honored because they had a small part to play in your being born, right? Small part. We talked about that with mothers. They bear the brunt of birthing you, don't they? And we are so thankful for that. So dads, yeah, they played a small part, and we can show them honor in that respect, but we'll give most of that honor up to moms. Those of you who have dads, raise your hand. That's right. That's all of us, huh? Honor them. Honor them every second of every day of your life. In doing so, bring blessing upon yourself. Dads, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Be a God-fearing dad who deserves to be honored by his children. And so with that, I encourage you today, go. And if, again, you have the ability, I know some dads have already gone on, but if you have the ability to honor your father, do so. Wish them a happy Father's Day. Maybe if your dad has already passed on, then it's just thanking the Lord for your dad and honoring God for giving you a dad at all. Or maybe, again, somebody in your life that has acted like a dad, that has maybe treated you like a dad, been there for you like a dad. With that, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our dad. Thank you for being our Abba Father, our Daddy Father. Lord, you are our Father in the big picture sense. You are a sovereign Father over all of your creation. But again, you are that Father who is near and dear to our hearts as well. Because you care about each one of us intimately, and for that we thank you and give you praise. Lord, I certainly pray this morning that if there are any here who have never called you Father, that, Lord, today might be the day of their salvation. That maybe even, Lord, this morning by coming to the understanding or belief that they are a sinner who needs a Savior, and the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, that, Lord, our sin is consequences, but through Christ and what he did on the cross, those consequences can be forgiven, relieved, done away with completely. And, Lord, we can have the blessing of eternal life with you and total forgiveness of sins. And, Lord, for somebody here that might find themselves in that position of needing forgiveness, that they would even cry out to you in their heart of hearts, in their mind even right now, and pray, Lord, a prayer of forgiveness, repentance, just acknowledging Christ as their Savior and you as their Father, and that he died on the cross for their sins, that he went into the grave but 3 days later resurrected for their salvation, that they would put their hope and faith and trust in Jesus and what he did for them. We pray this all in your Son's name. Help us to honor our fathers this day, God, and every day. Amen.